call the October 14th Amherst Town Council meeting to order. The first two items we'll talk is B and C. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Mr. Watts will lead us in the invocation. If you are uncomfortable or wish to leave during the invocation, you may step out, and Chief Shiflett will bring you back in at the conclusion of the invocation.
No sound.
All right, please. Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Father God, we ask for your guidance and your wisdom tonight as we come together to humbly conduct the people's business, Lord. We ask that you guide us to do what is in your will and none other. Lord, we pray for those that are ailing in our society and the state of our country, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay. Next item is Mr. Gary Christie from the Central Virginia Planning District. You can stand right there if you'd like, Gary, and the floor is yours.
Okay, welcome. Good to see everybody. I'm Gary Christie from the Central Virginia Planning District. And I appreciate you giving me a few minutes to just update you on what we've been up to and to make a small presentation. You may know or may not that the Planning District Commission was formed in 1969. So we're over 50 years old by that. Started with four counties in the city, and in 1990s, about 93, the five towns of the region came into the Planning District Commission. We have a board of 23, two representatives from each of our 10 jurisdictions. So we've got a big board, and over the past year, the year that ended July 1st, Mayor Tuttle was our chairman. And he did a great job. He brought a lot of energy, enthusiasm, and humor to the work, as you might expect. He was also named the first representative from our area to serve on the board of directors of the Virginia Association of Planning District Commissions, which is the state association for PDCs, and there are 23 PDCs across the state. Under Mayor Tuggle's leadership, the group decided it was time to have a strategic planning session. So Mayor Tuggle, with the mayor of Lynchburg at that time, Dave Tweedy, made a roadshow to the various jurisdictions across the across our area, encouraging our local government officials to come and participate. And 35 of them showed up in August of last year, 2019. We did some planning, some talking, and strategizing, and they continue to find economic development as our primary thing we need to work for, particularly economic development related to advanced manufacturing. So working with the Business Alliance, the PDC committed $150,000 in the redevelopment plan for the training center. If you check out trainingcentermasterplan.com, you'll find a survey and an invitation to attend a charrette November 9th through the 13th at the Business Alliance office downtown Lynchburg. To get some input comments on what that training center facility, all 350 acres, all 100 buildings, ought to become over time. Now that's trainingcentermasterplan.com. During the year, the PDC was able to assist Amherst County with a technical assistance grant to the National Park Service to get some planning services over the next 18 months to develop a regional vision for the Middle James River. Now what that's going to lead to is more opportunities for tourism, more opportunities for outdoor recreation, and access to the river that will be used by a number of the counties throughout this area. We finished the region's long-range transportation plan this year, and that sets us up for smart-scale applications, which are the way that local governments get funding to build road and bridge projects. We finished a hazard mitigation plan, and that'll be circulated around to our local governments in the spring, and that sets local governments up to do some, get some grant money to do projects in advance of a natural disaster like a hurricane or flood. We're keeping COVID-19 numbers updated for our region and our communities on our website. We've helped the town of Appomattox with a comprehensive plan, and working this coming year with the County of Amherst on the transportation chapter of their comprehensive plan. We're doing corridor studies and intersection studies for Rustburg and Bedford Town this year. We did a community development block grant, finished that up in the Meadowlark area of the town of Appomattox, and have finished the Appomattox County Tornado Recovery Project. We're working with Amherst County and Old Town Madison Heights and Town of Bedford for the South Street Bridge CDBG work. This is the 11th year we've operated a landfill in the Rustburg area for four of our counties. We have 200,000 tons of trash. It's a $7 million operation with 20 employees, still one of the lowest cost operations in the Commonwealth. One of the big things we've been doing most recently is our workforce development program. We manage about $1.25 million worth of training money that helps displaced workers, folks who have been laid off, folks who, young people who have dropped out of school, and other people who are in need of improving their skills so they can get a better job or a job, especially now that COVID has hit. The services are provided out of the Oddfellows Road VEC location. We call it the Career Center. And in July, the Planning District Commission unanimously approved this resolution of appreciation to Mayor Tubman for his services as our leader last year. And all of us appreciate your work and energy to make our year a success.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hold that hand.
Questions about Plan PDC? Some of you have heard the speech before. I appreciate you. Be patient. But we are very active, and the local governments are our only customer. So we want to make sure we get good service so we get repeat business.
One thing I want to throw in about the PDC that a lot of you might not know, what Gary said is things are sent out and you can get off his website. I get a weekly or bi-weekly thing from the PDC, and they let you know what the employment numbers are. And the employment numbers for this area are, from the top of the COVID, it was way up here. Today, they were down here. So it shows that we are rebounding back in this region.
We went from about 10,000 people out of work, and now we have about 3,500 out of work.
That's good.
That's still 3,000 people. That's a lot of people.
Right.
Still,
yeah.
It's better than it was.
Better than it was, and I think it shows that we're rebounding too. So, but I just want to let everybody here know that if you want to look that up, it's on the PDC website.
And we do have a couple of these newsletters that come out, depending on what you're interested in.
Yeah, I got one today on that. That's why I remember that. So.
Any right. Other questions, comments? Thanks everybody for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is public hearing on the sign ordinance. And so,
I think that's Tom.
So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna turn it over to Mr. Payne and Ms. Carter to explain, and then we'll open the public hearing for comments.
Okay, you wanna kick it off, Kim?
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor, members of council. This amendment to the sign ordinance was originally intended to provide an opportunity for the construction of what the state tourism department calls a Love Works sign over at the old train station site, which is a site owned by the county within the town. So there's a little bit of complexity there. The ordinance was originally drafted to allow for works of art to be considered. And it went through several amendments and several discussions with the planning commission. It was developed, the language was developed in the language that was advertised for this public hearing. And that language talks about a public display on public property, really in a very specific place. Sarah and I have discussed this language several times. She can tell you about the history with the planning commission. I was at the last meeting and they basically said, we're not willing to adopt the language that has been worked on through these several meetings. I think they had the public hearing at the direction of the town council and they declined to act, even though we did discuss changing some of the language. The language that was discussed to be added and that was advertised for tonight included the words on public property with all the other language that had been developed. As Sarah and I have talked about this and thought about this, we have some alternate language for council to consider tonight. If council's goal ultimately is to allow the sign, but not the, I think we're gonna call it a sign, because that's probably what we've gone back and forth on, is whether it's a sign or not. It is a promotional display, is kind of the term we settled on. The state doesn't call it a sign, the state calls it a love work, kind of like a work of art or a sculpture. And I think that's where the work of art language came from. But if it is council's intent to allow this to occur, then we want to provide language that will allow that within the sign ordinance, And we so ask that we have created some alternate language for you to consider, which would, instead of using the term work of art, would use the term promotional display or community promotion. And we think that one alternative there is to remove all of the language that talks about wear and size and things like that, and just say if it's a community promotion, it's on public property, that is under the auspices of a public agency, that it's really not being governed by the sign ordinance and doesn't require a permit. Because we got wrapped up in this whole issue of works of art, Sarah and I have discussed our concerns about putting anything in the sign ordinance that allows for taste or opinion, because and art is all about that. And so we were concerned, because of the discussion about works of art, that maybe we ought to just say that works of art are not being governed by the sign ordinance. And so there's some other language that we've offered for your consideration that would say that works of art that don't meet the definition or the intent of the of a sign as defined in the ordinance are not regulated by the ordinance. Just so it's completely clear that we're not going in that direction, if council wishes. So with that, the language as advertised is here before you tonight for consideration, and the alternate language is in front of you as well for your consideration after you hear from the public and during your deliberations. And Ms. Carter may want to add something to that.
I think the one thing that I would just want to make sure, you know, council understands, of course, that the Planning Commission declined to act on this, which is essentially their recommendation for denial. The issue for the Planning Commission is an issue that they would like to be able to have more, I would say, essentially creative control over signs, which we cannot do in state code. And their concern just is that whole issue of taste, and we really did get stuck on the works of art question. As Mr. Payne said from the beginning, the reason for talking about works of art is because this has been an issue in town in the past. We've had interest in doing the murals. As you know, the Amherst Cleaners has a mural on the side of the building. We have the Monacan Indian mural on the side of the commissioner's building. So, and we've really kind of skirted this issue by saying it's not a sign, it's a painting. But at the same time, I was really trying to kind of kill two birds with one stone on that and just say, works of art are not going to be regulated by the sign ordinance. And that was kind of where we started. Very broad language saying, if it is a work of art, it's not governed by the sign ordinance. That was fraught with all of these concerns on the part of the Planning Commission. I think that Mr. Payne's way of saying, if you really do want to include the specific language, he is correct that the better way to do that is through this promotional language. If you want to do the broad authority and just kind of say, we're not going to address works of art, then you're probably better off doing the broad language of works of art are not governed by the sign ordinance. Either one of those paths would allow the Love Works to proceed. So it's really just a question of philosophically whether you would prefer the broad authorization or whether you would prefer the much more narrowly constructed one.
Okay. I see we have, is it Katie Mayer?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, and you're speaking on behalf of the chamber.
Chamber, yes.
Okay, so in that case, you are allowed 5 minutes instead of three, because you're speaking, that's what all of you are here for, right?
Wonderful. Yeah.
So for speaking for everybody, is that correct? She's speaking for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay?
All
so
right.
Please go ahead.
All right.
And I'll raise my hand when you get to 4 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to stand up here. Should everybody hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Good evening, Mayor Tuggle and Council. As he said, my name is Katie Mayo, and I am the director of the Chamber of Commerce. First, I want to thank all of you for the time that has already been dedicated to the proposed amendment of the sign ordinance, and we appreciate the diligence and discussion that has already clearly been shown to this matter. Throughout this, I'm going to refer to it as a sign because that is, as Mr. Payne said, it is a Love Works sign in the terms of Virginia Tourism. So we feel that the visitor center is a natural fit for this tourist attraction as it sits on two major thoroughfares, and that way it'll be easier accessed and it'll bring visitors to the center. These signs attract guests into our county, and it would be directly into town that they would be coming. Our hope is that by visiting, they will stay and have a burger at the filling station, stop in at Hill House or Warehouse Antiques. They might visit the new park or the biking trail and stay a while in our quaint little town. We want to show what we love about this community. We have a design. It is not final at this point, but it highlights special aspects throughout Amherst County. This will truly be a community effort as we hope to source both materials and labor from within the community. Amherst County High School has been spoken to with the effort, as well as Old Dominion Job Corps. Of course, nothing is set in stone because we don't have the approval first. So love signs can be found in all of the surrounding localities. These signs are destinations and a chance to showcase what makes Amherst special to all of us. Virginia Tourism has a whole section on their website that I would be happy to show anyone that shows people that take weekend trips to certain parts of Virginia to visit all of the love signs in the area. People are booking from outside other localities, like there's a couple that's featured that came from North Carolina and they did the whole Love Works tour. So it's really becoming kind of a popular thing to do. In the age of social media, a picture is truly worth more than 1,000 words. So when someone takes a picture in front of those love signs, it then goes out on social media and people want to know where they are. This is our first option for the sign placement at the visitor center. We have been approached by some other locations in Madison Heights that have expressed interest. VDOT has already given their approval of this sign being placed where it would be at the visitor center, and it will not need a permit. In closing, we would love for the sign to find its home in the town. And I thank you all again for your time. And if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to take those.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to close the public comment section. And I'm gonna turn it over to council. I'm gonna make one statement, and then council, you can address Mr. Payne or Ms. Carter with this. I'd like to expand on one thing that Ms. Mayo said. At our last PDC state meeting, when we met in person, they actually had a big thing of the people that plan their vacations around seeing love signs. And at first I thought, huh? But then they interviewed the people, and they showed the people, and like Ms. Mayo said, they would take a specific region and they would spend 3 days, and there was like some families that's only too shy.
Yeah.
As of not long ago, they were too shy in the entire state of having a vacation at all of them and having their family picture taken in front of all of them. So I think that, to me, is just something really cool that people, that just, it just brings people in. I think it's an amazing thing that just kind of exploded that way. So that's all I have to say. I will turn it over to council. Mr. Payne and Ms. Carter, if you want to address the way they have written the ordinance.
I'm absolutely opposed to the way it's advertised. That's just too vague, and it applies just to government. But Ms. Payne, on the alternative language, it says promotional displays that do not contain any commercial messages or reference and constructed or displayed on public property under the auspices of the locally based government agency. Then it goes on to say promotional displays can only be on commercially zoned property on Routes 29 and 29 Business or Route 60. So are we in effect saying, well, on government property is one thing and on business property is another?
Well, it would have to be commercially owned public property is the way I would interpret that.
Commercially owned public property.
Commercially zoned, excuse me.
Okay.
Commercially zoned public property.
Okay.
Which does define the situation at the visitor center.
Right. But it also covers business. It's not just limited to government here with this one.
Well, no, this one would say that it had to be public property that was commercially zoned. It would say those are kind of two conditions. It has to be on public property and it has to be commercially zoned property. So those two conditions would need to apply.
Well, that was my second problem with it, just limiting it to government agencies or okay.
Well, I want to remind everybody that the purpose of this language was to say the sign ordinance does not apply here. not that this is part of the sign ordinance, but that these things do not fall under the auspices of the sign ordinance, or under the regulations of the sign ordinance. To me, that's why it gets a little bit complex when then you say we're not going to govern this, but then we talk about size and the location,
right,
and the zoning and everything else, which sounds an awful lot like a regulation,
right,
when you just said we're not going to regulate it. So it my personal opinion, and Ms. Carter may disagree, is I would rather see the language that's the community promotions language, or you could swap the word and say call it promotional display. It just says if you're promoting our community on public property, we're not going to regulate that under the sign ordinance. Now, if you want to go further and talk about other community promotions, but this would take care of the banner that flies over Main Street right now, potentially the banner that hangs on the side of the building to promote Second Stage. It would certainly take care of the Love Works sculpture or structure. Again, we're talking about something that is not going to be regulated, so I think a clear statement of what this thing is that's not going to be regulated is possibly the simplest approach.
And part of why we got to that real specific place was because that was an attempt to address the concerns of the Planning Commission. So we kind of continued to add things. We started very broad and then continued to add things over time to see if we could get to a place that the Planning Commission was comfortable. And that was how we ended up with the public property and commercially zoned and in these locations, was to try to see if there was a way to slice that in a way they'd be comfortable with it. And at the end, they still weren't ready to do it. So I think that's a question of how would you like to address this?
Okay, so they've seen the alternative language then?
They have not seen.
They've not seen, not the promotional display, but we do not have to go back from a statutory point of view, and I don't think there's any, honestly, I don't think there's any reason to go back at this point, that they're just, it's not where they are.
The original intent was to not regulate these things.
Right.
And then, and as the conversation continued, it was all about, can we regulate this, can we control this one thing at this one location? When I think your intent originally was much broader, and it got all wrapped up around that sign, or not, I hesitate to call it a sign, that sculpture at that site is really, and so that's where all this language came from.
I have no problem with the concept of what the chamber's trying to do. Matter of fact, I think it's a good thing, and this week you made a very good point. I spoke to her one day about every little thing helps to attract people, and we need to do that. I just have had some real heartburn over some of the language, but it's not the concept of this ordinance that I'm concerned with. I'm done.
All right, does anybody else have anything, Mr. Pender?
I have no problem with definition 4 of community promotions. I think, to me personally, that is the clearest language to me. I think, again, I'm in support of a love sign. As much tourism that we can generate here in this beautiful town, the better, more better for our businesses, better for our restaurants, better for our housing. I recently heard some stories where people stopped here on a visit and now they're buying a house because they absolutely fell in love with it. That's what we want. We want people that love our town to be here because we love it. And if it brings a love sign for someone to come into our town that normally would just drive by and not see how beautiful it is, then again, I hear where you're coming from, Mr. Watts, and I respect that, and I have those same reservations myself. But at the same time, we can't worry about something that may happen, maybe, but this is before us now, and am I clear, Mr. Payne, just to think that this community promotions, is this the mellowest language we have without over-regulating? I feel like the state has already told us what we can and cannot do with the sign ordinance. We really, our hands are tied on that. We can't do much with that anyways. I don't particularly want to touch it if it comes to the state telling us what we can and cannot do. I don't want to get my fingers dirty. That's not a good place to be. But I
think that language that's proposed with community promotion is intended to provide a place for the zoning administrator to go if somebody questions a promotional display on public property,
mm-hmm.
and the answer would be, it's on public property, it was approved by a public agency, it is not regulated by the sign ordinance. And that's simply all that it's doing. So it only addresses public property. If somebody puts a promotional sign on private property, that's another issue for the zoning administrator to continue, whether that would be a billboard, if it was promoting commercial activity would clearly be an off-site sign, and so there's clear language in the ordinance to address that.
I do have one additional. I would like to know what the definition of commercial messages is according to the code, because that could mean a lot of different things to me.
It does, and if you go back to, you know, thinking about, for example, Second Stage with their farmer's market, there was a very conscious decision for them to have those yellow banners that say nothing, because mm-hmm. then at that point it's just a decorative flag. But it, you know, when you look at the law about what a commercial message is,
mm-hmm.
if we're taking real strict interpretation of that, even a flag outside your business that says open can be interpreted as a commercial message. So we have taken not the hardest line approach on those kinds of things, but yes, when somebody's advertising an event, when someone is, you know, putting out a flag that has the name of their business, those things are commercial messages. So we have gone out, for example, when folks have first opened, you know, whether it's Dollar General or the vape store or whatever, and then they'll have a flag banner or something out there for 30 days, because we have a provision in the code that mm-hmm. says you can have some special signage for 30 days. And once that 30 days is up, those kinds of things need to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we have been. So commercial messages talk about, yes, events, types of things you're selling, the name of your business, and even if it goes too far, you know, the now open sign is also a commercial message.
Okay.
It's advertising a business.
The reason why I ask that is because if that does concern me that we get cluttery.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden we have this clutter in our vision and it's distracting and ugly and it looks like another place that we don't like. And I don't want that for the town. I don't want that visual clutter when we have such natural beauty. I know the love sign wouldn't do that, but we have to think about all
the
people
others
that would put it out. So.
And I think you're very safe with this because it does talk about public property and it
mm-hmm.
does talk about for community
right.
promotion. So I think from a zoning ordinance point of view, we'll be very safe interpreting this for other things.
Okay. That would be my point. If I may ask a question, what size are you all thinking like as far as height? Do you know how tall?
So the design is not final, but it would be approximately right under seven to eight feet.
Mm-hmm.
2 feet of that is a concrete
sure.
Place, and then 6 feet are the letters around, roughly.
Okay. And you're placing that fronting 29?
Fronting 29, the
interchange?
Kind
or
of coming down the hill, so you would, if you can remember where the tractor used to sit,
yes.
Right there?
Yep.
Right around in there.
So kind of on the hillside.
Kind of on the hillside and kind of facing directly onto 29. So as you're coming through there, through those trees, you would be able to see it right away.
Okay.
And as
okay.
well, on you can see it on 60.
Yeah, you can see it on 60. And we
coming, going west.
Headed.
Yes.
Or headed east.
Headed.
Coming from the east, going west,
yes.
You'll be able to see it.
Yes.
Okay. So it's only going to be seen going north or east. Correct.
I mean, you would
people
see
are
it.
Going south.
You're
not going to see it
unless you're looking over.
Yeah, unless you're looking over.
You
I mean, it's going
to
be
oh, yeah,
pretty
okay.
substantial.
Yeah.
And if you're coming, I mean, if you're coming past the other way, I mean, you'll see the backing
you'll
of
see
it because
the
there's no
it,
real
yeah.
way to hide
okay.
it there.
It was
but
just a curiosity question.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of the placement and size.
I can also send a picture. For VDOT approval, we kind of marked off where it is, and we tried to kind of stay back away from the roadways, but enough that it will be seen from
right.
20.
No, that's fine. I remember seeing the original sketches, but I just didn't know what they
were.
Okay,
I'm done. Anybody else have one more thing?
Okay.
Are we talking about adding this section, paragraph to 18.1-908.01, that works of art or aesthetic, physical items, or artistic creations that do not meet the definition or intent of the sign, as defined in section 18.1-302.118?
So that was essentially where we started, with the idea of just saying these things wouldn't be regulated by the ordinance. And then kind of as you look at that page, as you move up, you kind of get the more specific as we try to address different concerns. And I think that Mrs. Carton is pointing out that the one that is the
number
community
right.
Promotion,
yeah.
The promotions would be her direction. So it's really kind of a menu here. Pick one.
Okay,
yeah. Pick one from the menu.
Yeah.
I was trying to be clear on what we're going to be voting on here, and I agree. If we're going to do it, that's the one to do it.
All right, does anybody else have any questions? Being no questions, I will call for a vote. May I have a motion?
I make a motion that we accept revision that states community promotions, the last revision, I guess that would be, of section 18.1-908.06A.
Okay, I have a motion from Ms. Carton. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a second from Ms. Ogden. Is there any further discussion? Being no further discussion, roll call vote. Mr. Bunch?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Nay.
Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Okay. You're going to be a part of
the
meeting. And Ms. Ogden?
Aye.
Motion is carried. 4-1-0. Make us proud, Congress. Bring some
try.
People here.
We will try.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you.
All right. Chief, would you check? Do we have any citizens' comments out there?
No, sir. There's no name signed on the form, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Moving on. Everybody had time to review the minutes from last month. Does anybody have any corrections regarding those minutes? If not, we'll take a motion to accept those minutes.
Make a motion.
Second.
A motion for Mr. Watts, and second, please.
I'll second.
Second for Mr. Bunch. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Ms. Ogden.
I will abstain.
Okay. Ms. Carden?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Whedon?
Aye.
And Mr. Bunch?
Aye.
4-0-1. Next item, town staff reports. Has everybody had an opportunity to review these staff reports? Is there any questions reference to the reports?
I have one correction on mine, to change the 2030 date to 2020.
All right, you are looking well into the future. All right, committee, Ms. Carden?
No meetings, nothing to report.
Community relations, Ms. Ogden?
No meeting, no report.
And it looks like the utilities committee had a meeting.
I'll defer to Mr. Bunch on that since he was the sole committee member there.
We went to the mill again and toward to kind of look at Mr.
McCormick's
proposal for the easement, and I don't think we're ready to really comment on that yet, but
okay.
We're just trying to get a better feel for the lay of the land. All right,
so in that, I will go ahead and address that now. I would like to suggest that next month we send a request that Mr. McCormick attend. That will give each council member ample opportunity to go over all the documents that you need for this, and we will address this matter how it falls next month. Is that acceptable with council?
I believe so, yeah. I think we've all had plenty of opportunity.
Okay. So I just ask everybody to make sure you review all the paperwork. If you need further paperwork, contact Mr. Payne and Ms. Carter.
I've looked at his paperwork now. It's, you know, he sat back and he hasn't approached us again. Is he ready to go on this now?
I think that's why all these meetings. So we're gonna get it done.
Okay.
It's time, instead of it constantly just hanging on here, it's time to get it done.
He's ready for a decision.
Yeah.
We're ready to make it.
One way or another.
All right.
Planning Commission had no meeting. The IDA, Mr. Payne, would you like to address anything from the IDA?
I'm going to be reporting on the small business grant in a minute.
All right.
On the agenda.
Okay. And the Robert E. Lee water, that's the minutes are attached. Next item, Ms. Hunt and Ms. Carter referenced the Christmas parade report, and we'll go from there. Whichever one of you wants to go first.
Ms. Carter. You're telling me to go?
You go.
Ms. Hunt has contacted the folks who participated in the parade previously, really trying to get a flavor for were people interested in trying to do something with the parade. And there's still a substantial level of interest for folks participating in the parade. And so we've really been kind of going back and forth, talking about how we could make this work. Our biggest concern was not the participants in the parade. Our biggest concern were spectators. And, you know, we don't want to put our police department or any sheriff's deputies or state troopers in the position of having to go up and down the street and tell people to disperse for a parade. I mean, this is just a nightmare. So I was on the VML conference. And it's interesting, the mayor and I, within about 24 hours of each other, both heard about this from other places. But a suggestion was made by someone, it was actually a council member in Warrenton, to have a reverse parade.
That's what I was going to suggest.
And so instead of having people come and spectate and have the floats go by them, we instead have the floats be given a designated space on Main Street, and we have people process down Main Street in their vehicles to view the floats. We would accommodate those folks that are typically walkers or those kinds of things on properties that are close to Main Street, so we could use Town Hall parking lot, we could request Bank of the James allow. So if we have the Dance Academy or, you know, the marching band, or we'll look for places that would be good locations. Our initial thought is to have this move from north to south. So we would have floats spread out throughout town. with a lesser concentration of them right in the downtown, focusing the walkers and those kinds of events downtown, and then also ask businesses and residents in the kind of downtown area fronting Main Street to really go all out on the decorating. You know, really, you know, let's make Main Street shine. And at the end of the route, the marching band is interested in participating at seeing if they would be interested in setting up on the hillside in front of the high school and put Santa in the middle. So really encouraging people to move south so that they can get things in the proper order and have all the floats face in the correct direction. So we really just wanted to see if there was any concerns from council. Ms. Hunt has lots of information she has heard from the folks who have participated in the past. If there's any questions you have, and just seeking some direction on how you'd like us to proceed, if this sounds good.
I got, when she said she heard about it, I got a phone call from somebody that used to live in town that works in Lexington. And they were telling me, hey, this is what Lexington's doing. It just came out. And they're doing this. And Sarah goes, I forgot to tell you. And I said, well, I forgot to tell you. And we both forgot to tell each other about this. And I thought it was an unbelievable idea because it takes care of our social distancing problem with everybody where they like to, you know, at the drugstore or you know, down here on its Second Stage now, Second Street.
You have two people from together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you won't have that in the drive-thru. And I think we may get more participants than we think. But I think it's cool. And I know we were talking before, like, said something to Ms. Turner just briefly about decorating big time. I think that would be cool because that would, the thing about that is you're going to decorate for more than one day. Mm-hmm. So that's going to bring more people coming through downtown to just look at the decorations too. So I think it's a fantastic idea, and it's council's baby, so please y'all.
I had heard of this concept of no locality was doing it, and I think if we're going to do it, my personal opinion is the only responsible thing to do.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're going to have a parade, this is the way to do it this year.
Could you elaborate on the downtown area? You said you would start the traffic, if you will, north, then go south, and what, you'll scatter the floats, but what will happen on the main area, like in front of?
So our thought was, and we have had a conversation with both VDOT and with the chief to make sure, you know, nobody had any heartburn about this concept. Our thought was really to use the bypass. So, you know, to have people get on the bypass and start, you know, one end, the 29 bypass exit on the north end of town, and then move south and then get back on 29 at the other end of town. And that way, again, we've given people a set of instructions about how to go. And our thought was really to spread the floats out as much as we could on the corridor so that the whole section from 29 to 29 has things to look at, but we don't get people all grouped up and stopped in any one location. And the thought was that because we really do want to accommodate those walkers. So like last year it was, you know, the Dance Academy, we had walkers, we had the folks who sometimes have horses and sometimes they don't have real horses. So, but we have a number of groups that walking is part of what they do. So we wanted to come up with places to accommodate them. And our hope was to kind of congregate those in the downtown area. So our parking lot, potentially the Bank of the James parking lot, because they've participated in other events with us. And just look for locations right here for those kinds of things. So floats north of the circle, floats south of the main downtown area, and then culminating with Santa Claus at the high school, potentially with the high school marching band if they participate. So using the whole of the corridor.
So the traffic will drive through the main downtown? Okay.
We would not have any street closure. And that's part of why you would really need to locate the floats where you have good parking spaces with the bike lanes, so that the floats, if they're a little bit wide, you know, we're really going to, and we want to get the walkers off of Main Street, which is why we thought put them in business and town hall parking lot.
Okay, thank
you. But you're not going to street closure, but aren't you going to have one-way traffic?
You know, at this point, that is not what we have talked about doing. We have talked about leaving Main Street open so people can go both ways, but directing people that the parade is best seen going from north to south.
When you get in the downtown area, you're going to have limited space for two-way traffic.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the thought is not to put the floats right here, but to put the walkers right here.
So that they're completely in parking lots,
right,
not even on the street.
They're not on the street at all. The walkers would be in parking lots and then looking to businesses to really decorate and have it be, you know, Christmassy, but not to put the floats in the downtown area so that we don't end up with a traffic pileup.
So the town becomes a participant.
Yes.
In the parade.
Will visitors be allowed to get out of the car and walk around?
We wouldn't be regulating people walking around, but, you know, what we're going to do is make it really clear that it's too long a route for someone to walk the route. So if you really want to see the floats, it's a driving tour. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the goal is to direct people to driving so that we can keep people safe.
I do have a concern with, in my mind, when you were telling me, I'm thinking one way from north to south with floats on the going north side, like parked
right
on that lane, and then all traffic going the same direction. I've got a safety concern, one off with two-way traffic with a float crashed on the side.
Yeah.
There are people who move around the float, especially
that.
Children, usually that are on the, you know, it's hard to keep everybody sitting still on a float. That's the thing, fun thing about a parade. It moves. And so when you have little kids or groups of people sitting still on a float, they get antsy. And so my concern is with traffic going both ways, number one. And I don't know, just in my head, space-wise, they'd be having to use the parking/bike lane to drive in, coming south, and then over the center line, probably going north, because floats, some of those trucks are semi-trucks. And so that takes up quite a space on the road in my mind's eye. I feel like it's a safety issue a little bit. I would feel more comfortable if all the traffic were going from north to south with floats in the northbound lane. So floats are lined up starting facing, like they're going this way in the northbound lane, and all the traffic's going south. See what I'm saying? So the floats are on this side, the traffic's going this way. And then that way people can move around the float or walk around the float safely if they want to. I don't know.
And part of what we would have to work through with VDOT is the question of whether VDOT sees it as being a bigger safety issue that way, or whether VDOT sees it as a bigger safety issue
the other way.
And so when we talked to VDOT before, they felt like it was going to be a safe parade as long as we were parking floats, particularly where you've got both a parking space on the street and a bike lane, because then the bike lane becomes really the buffer
mm-hmm.
between where the float is and where the traffic is. And so that was kind of the VDOT perspective. If we used those, that was going to be enough room.
The width of a semi truck is going to cut into a safe
lane.
Travel lane of people heading north. They're going to be driving over the center lane.
When you go to VDOT, and Chief, your thought on this too. I know VDOT sometimes balks or has a heartache when you close a road down.
Right.
And you know, we jump through all the hoops for closing the road down. Well, really, we're having a parade, albeit a reverse parade. If we had one lane open, then I think, my opinion, VDOT's heartburn is going to be less, because they're always worried about access. In case something happens, do we have access? And the road is closed down, do we have access? Now with one lane, you've got access.
Yeah.
You know, where before we shut the whole road down
while
the parade went. Nobody's going anywhere on that whole road. That's my mindset.
Yeah,
as long as they're comfortable with the idea.
I don't
have a concern with it as long as VDOT is comfortable with the idea that we allow people to park and then still have traffic going. Because depending on how they view that, that may be something that is
allowing which people
right.
to park.
It's just in my head, it's confusing
the floats.
To think about.
Right.
Because I don't know if VDOT will allow the floats to be parked on a lane of traffic and have people going by. We just have to make
sure. Well, they can use both.
I just need to make sure that we can get them to do it. We can certainly ask them and approach them. When I had spoken to them previously, what I spoke to them about was the idea of using the parking spaces where you had both a parking space and a bike lane for the floats to park, so that we'd have some additional room and buffer, and then having people, two-way traffic, still be there. So So we just need to make sure that we can get them to buy off on that.
Because we need to be careful, because there are, like, near Dwayne's house and the school, the lanes shift.
Mm-hmm.
So the center line is no longer the center of the road,
and we're going to be the ones who determine where the floats park. So,
right.
I mean, we would actually be telling people, your parking space is at this location. We have put cones there to designate your spot. So, I mean, that's part of how we were going to manage all of that, is we're not going to put the floats where we've got those kinds of concerns.
Let me just ask one more thing there. You said go all the way up North Main Street. Are you thinking we would have so many floats from the traffic circle to back to the high school?
Yeah, you space them out.
We're going to space them out.
Right, so if you do, I'm wondering if we'll need North Main Street. And then with the one lane would be perfect, because everybody can come off 29, jump off at the traffic circle, go right down. And, you know, like Rachel said, in my mind's eye, I'm seeing one of the bands, and one on top of my head is, I think it's Madison Heights Elementary School.
The Manellas and the Little Drum Players.
Right.
Oh, I love
you know, Mike Scott owns that property right there at the traffic circle. That big parking lot right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we get with him and say, hey, can we put, you know, a band right there or something like that in the beginning? So there's your band to start it off with. I'm just wondering if even with all of our participation, if we can't go from the traffic circle to the high school and not be going up Main Street.
It depends on, I think you're going to have a number of participants before you know that.
Well, that, but if you think about the old days, when we started at the traffic circle, they went normally from the traffic circle to Ridge. It's where they all lined up, and they were right there. Of course, there wasn't space.
At this point, they're going well beyond. Going to the church.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, you're well beyond that.
Church.
Yeah.
But this year may be different.
I think if we talk about that first, we need to find out with VDOT. And if they will let the single lane, pitch it to them two ways. All of Main Street from Boxwood Farm down, or from the traffic circle down. And they might say, that's great, because then they're thinking in their mind, you still got the traffic on 60 that can roll on through, and then everybody goes through and going down Main Street one way, and then rolling off, and they may sign off on that one pretty easy too.
And we'll certainly check on all of that. I think the question is council comfortable proceeding with a Christmas parade with the idea that it's the reverse parade?
I think we need it. My opinion is we need it. With everything that's going on right now, I've had my neighbors ask me the other day, well, we're going to have a Christmas parade, and so I pitched them this idea, and she was so excited because she said, that means we can go through twice if we miss something the first time through.
Or more.
She was excited that her kids were going to go through twice, that's it.
But you have to put a time limit on it.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to put a time limit on it. But I mean,
there are also people in the community who aren't going anywhere.
Right. And it would be right in their front yard.
And you could have someone who's isolated in their car and safe.
Absolutely.
Who can participate.
Yeah, you've got to be careful not to block driveways and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's part of the reason why we've talked about using the entirety of Main Street is because, when we get more spread out, it allows us to really be able to make sure we're locating those in places where there's plenty of room. And that was our concern, is because, I've heard the nightmares about when it was lined up on North Main and how they were just everywhere and there was never enough room and they were blocking people's driveways.
That's the one thing with North Main, you're blocking a driveway.
Yeah.
Well, and when you go down South Main, what we run into is there isn't a parking lane on a lot of South Main. And so that's why, from the perspective of really being able to make it clear to people where they're supposed to park these floats, that was the concern that I had about using the entirety of North and South Main to be able to give people plenty of room to park their float, to not be on top of each other. Here's a float, then however many feet later there's another one. We're avoiding driveways. And
South Main Street, you can't have two directional traffic.
Right, you couldn't.
There's no way.
because where there's places that there's not a, so I think that's a great argument for let's one-way traffic on Main Street.
I mean, we'll certainly pitch it to VDOT.
Yeah.
Can I make one other suggestion? Please don't locate fire trucks and ambulances in front of houses, because those boys and girls will blow those signs.
Well, my concern is we need to approach them and ask them, are you okay with sitting still, and are you going to have a turn radius or whatever you need to get out in case you are called and you have to get out? They need an out. If they're called, they need to be able to get out of that line easily and swiftly, right? I mean, usually everybody comes, so, you know, I mean, so we definitely don't want to cause an incident where they're blocked in somewhere and they can't get out, and then...
I think we could schedule that, especially if they're further down south.
Yeah.
You know, where they could bounce they can, out and they get right on the bypass.
Turn. That's a lot of thought going into that.
Mm-hmm. So, does everybody agree? I mean, there's interest in council that we do that.
Yeah.
And let's go to VDOT about the one way, and let's try to work with VDOT and just see where we go from there. How about that?
I'm all for Christmas
break.
Do you want us to vote?
I just wanted to get the head nod.
I think everybody agrees. This is something that our town needs and our area needs, community needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Mr. Payne, we're going to throw it at you.
Yes, sir. Pleased to report that there's been progress made on the small business grants. The IDA met last week and reviewed 8 separate applications and approved grants for 5 of those applications. The other 3 that were not complete, I've been working with 2 of the applicants this week and hope to be able to go to the IDA next week, which is going to get 5. More applications, including those 2. A total of $47,823.78 was granted by the IDA to those 5 businesses, and the businesses have all been contacted. There's nothing really. I think the checks are being processed tomorrow, and so we'll have some money to support those small businesses on the street very quickly.
Fantastic.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. I know you worked on that. Ms. Carter came in at the end, and we won't let her get all the credit.
No, okay. She doesn't get any of the credit. It is all Mr. Payne. I'm really enjoying having a deputy for however long I get to keep them. I hear other managers talk about how much they love their deputies, and they, you know, send the things their way that they don't want to necessarily do. And
there you go.
Tracy and I were very happy.
I see Tracy nodding her head. And because she's nodding her head, it's your turn, Ms. Tracy.
At last month's meeting, it was approved that we could spend up to $10,000 of the CARES Act salary swap out of the police funds to fund a new server for our office. Currently, we do not back up to the cloud, and we have on-site backups, and that's it. So if the building burns down, we don't have anything. We did reach out to our current IT people at AntWorks, and we got a quote back of around, I think it was roughly over $6,100, so it was well below the $10,000 that was approved, but because it is over the $5,000 of our procurement policy, I am required to come to you all for approval for the expenditure. So that is my request tonight.
Okay. I'll ask for a motion. To authorize the purchase.
I make a motion we authorize that purchase.
I have a motion from Ms. Carter, the second.
Question?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right, I'll second.
Second from Mr. Watts. Any discussion?
All right, you said 6,000.
I think it was.
Agency.
Yeah,
Oh, that labor's not, that labor that's in there is not included. We did go back to AntWorks and we requested that they separate that quote, because regardless of whether we get the server or not, we have to prepay them for the hours that they work.
Okay.
So we would have to pay that to them regardless of if they provided the server or not, because, you know, when they come out here to assess things and set up things for us, we have to give that to them. So okay. That's irrelevant of the quote of the server.
Okay.
Okay, any further discussion? All right, roll call vote. Mr. Bush?
Aye.
Mrs. Wheaton?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Carter?
Aye.
And Ms. Otto?
Aye.
Motion carried, 5-0-0.
Yeah, and the next thing is, per the Code of Virginia, this is just a formality that I request you all to adopt the capital improvement process and the budget calendar for this year, and it just gives me a timeframe to go by on getting everybody their packets and getting everything back from the community.
Okay. Now I have a motion to adopt the budget and CIP calendar.
I'll make a motion.
Motion for Mr. Watts. Have a second.
Second.
Second from Ms. Carter. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Ms. Ogden?
Aye.
Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
And Mr. Butch?
Aye.
Next item, amendment to the personnel policy, Ms. Carter.
Yeah, as council knows, I have brought minor amendments to the personnel policy to you several times. As we see things, and we have reviewed the personnel policies, they still make good sense. It's a good policy, but as we find things that just could be a little bit better, we bring those to council and request that you amend the policy. The amendment this time really focuses on expectations for employees and making it clear that it's not just these major violations that are issues of discipline for employees, but it's also issues that, you know, if we find out there's an employee that is lying or has repeated instances of carelessness, that those are also disciplinary issues that would be addressed through our disciplinary policy. And this was just an attempt to make that clear for everyone, supervisors and employees for the future.
Okay. I will accept a motion for the amendment to the personnel policy.
I make a motion that we accept the personnel policy as presented by Ms. Carter.
I have a motion from Ms. Carter. May I have a second?
I'll second.
A second from Mr. Bunch. Any discussion?
I have a question. It's not really a question. It's, has there been a situation where this needs to be put in with someone?
We
brought this about?
This just came up as a discussion with one of the supervisors that they felt like when they were counseling an employee that they thought that it could be clearer in here to provide expectations. I mean, and it isn't anything that we've got an issue that we need to address it immediately, and it just was a real question going, you know, if I'm counseling somebody and everything in our policy looks like we only discipline for these major level infractions, then we don't really have the opportunity to coach and counsel employees before they get to that point. So we want to make sure it's clear what our expectations are to our employees.
Well, I can appreciate it being here, but, you know, I think, I don't know, I just would see here, we shouldn't assume, but you should not lie, you know. Carelessness. I'm just surprised that has to be brought to someone's attention.
You know, I would have been surprised too until I went through a process where we ended up working on an appeal from the Employment Commission, and the more specific the language is, the cleaner the experiences with Virginia Employment Commission. I will tell you that this personnel policy has been helpful, and being able to point to specific items that are listed makes a big difference in that moment. And so that was part of why when it was, you know, brought up, you know, should we have it be a little bit broader? Should we make sure we mention things that are kind of leading up to those issues? Given my experience with VEC, I would say yes.
And I can say that from being in a position and some other things, if you don't have, like you said, Ms. Wheaton, about lying in there, yeah, everybody knows you shouldn't lie, but it will come back and say, the policy doesn't say that I can.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's where it come from. These people, when they're, and Mr. Berry is totally familiar with that, when they're looking at keeping their job, they're going to look at every comma, and, but, and the. And if they lie, they're going to say, of course, it's saying the policy, I can't lie. And then you're going to go, well, that's the moral thing. Now, I repeat, where does it say in the policy that I can't lie?
So, well, it works both ways, too, yeah. Especially if the employee needs to address it.
Right.
You know, say, well, you say this was a lying issue. issue, and I'd like to bring your attention. It was not, because I have somebody that can support that it was not. So you kind of understand exactly what you're saying, but I think both from the standpoint of a supervisor pointing it out, and also in counseling by the employee.
And I like to look at it just from a different standpoint. Is I look at it, our employees are our assets. They're the best part of our town. We are very blessed to have great employees. I've seen it where we didn't have great employees, but we are now in a place where we have great employees. And I look at it as I want to protect our employees too. And if they're trying to figure out some things, or, you know, what do I do, what don't I do, where's my barrier? We all need to know where our scope of practice is in our jobs. And so if it's clearly defined, I'm doing the best possible way to give my employees power to be the best employee they can be when I clearly define where the barriers are. So that makes them be more productive and more fruitful and a better employee, because the lines are clear, and it's as a supervisor in coaching to make them the best employee they can, that helps just finish the product. In my mind's eye, that's how it makes employees better, because you can coach them better.
Well, I always said, tell me the rules of the game and we can play the game.
That's it.
And that's just simple. It's that simple.
Yeah. I like it.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah.
Vote. Ms. Bunch.
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Mr. White. Aye. Ms. Carter?
Aye.
And Ms. Otto?
Aye.
Okay. You what?
Sorry.
We had already done the motion.
Yeah.
Because he said no.
Yeah.
That was on 5-0-0. Matters from the staff. Let's see. Chief, you got anything?
This October 30th, we partner with Killaway Realty. We'll be doing a drive-through trick-or-treat event through town hall. Just something for kids. We don't know where the state affairs are with trick-or-treat, but I don't think it's going to be permitted this year. I don't know that.
We don't really have the ability to say anything other than to advise people.
So I think that's great. I saw it on the website. I said, cool.
Something for kids. So, you know, it's going to be people who dressed up. We'll have all the police cars there. Grab bags for them, so just doing something for the community.
At the station?
It'll exit out that way, but it'll all be held here.
Okay.
So what are you going to be, Chief?
I don't know.
Policeman.
Chief?
Dress up, you can be a policeman.
Yeah. I thought I'd hit on you for something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you show up for a
clown?
Mr. Williams?
I don't have anything, sir.
Mr. Barrett?
No, sir.
Ms. Hunt?
Just quickly about the Christmas parade, is when Ms. Carter told me about this, I was tickled to death about the reverse parade. I was so afraid that it wasn't going to happen at all, and when she told me that. So when I'm talking to these people, the participants, which I know I will, it just, when y'all were talking about it and y'all were on board, I was smiling under here. So thank y'all for that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mayor, all I could do, just to reiterate, I think I took my family down to Virginia Beach for the boardwalk, for the view of the sculptures, right, and the lights, yeah, and that was just perfect. You drive right down,
right through.
You know, and it was well conducted. Mm-hmm. I know this will be different, but that's what I would
do. I did it at Charlotte Motor Speedway. That's pretty good, too.
Good deal.
Ms. Carter?
You know, it really is great to be back, and it's great to have staff that gets excited to do things in the town. And you know, I'm just humbled by the fact that y'all have staff. We have staff that, you know, Ms. Hunt gets excited. This Christmas parade is going to be a tremendous amount of work, and she's excited. She can't wait to get to it. So, I mean, it's really neat. It's a special place.
And we're glad to have you back.
Yes.
Yep.
Don't forget Mr. Tracy over there.
I'm going to get to him over there. Ms. Tracy?
We went full force with the new software last week. People have been patient. We have not had many complaints about us now charging them the credit card convenience fee. For the most part, those who used to make payments online still are. And if they're coming into the office, they're just opting to write us a check or take cash. But they're really not The transition has been a little stressful. But we all are seeing good features that we like and we know are going to help us once we get past the learning curve. So if everybody could just continue to be patient, we will get through it.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Payne, we're so happy you're here. We're sad. I know Ms. Carter now is sad you're leaving. She's like that deputy thing. But would you like to have anything you'd like to say?
Well, I would just say it's been a pleasure. You do have a wonderful staff there. They've been very welcoming and very helpful to me and very patient with me as well, which they needed to be from time to time. So I'm thoroughly enjoying myself. I'm glad I could have been of assistance. And I'm as happy as anybody, Ms. Carter.
Thank you very much. Okay, matters from council. Ms. Bunch?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Wiggins?
No.
Ms. Watts?
Two things. Yes, sir. A couple things have fallen through the cracks, partly because of COVID and partly because of the adventures of Ms. Carter. We, back some time back when Mr. Schrader approached the council about our dog ordinance and some concerns with it, we talked about lining some dog boxes up South Main Street up near the high school and down that way. You know, the bag.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't done it, and it was brought to my forefront this morning when I saw her walking her dog up right around the area of the high school. The last box we have is right around Tom Schrader's office,
mm-hmm.
going south.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how council feel about putting a few more up.
I think we need to.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Good idea.
Okay. What is the furthest one north?
Furthest one north
is almost the cemetery.
Almost to the cemetery. Yeah. It's in front of the church property. The
it's
field.
In the
yeah.
Yeah,
the right Presbyterian church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. The field area there.
Really, we need a couple more.
Yeah, we should have at least one.
Yeah, well, I think because we took one of them, because I had Charles do it, because we took one of them and moved it to that corner right there at the elementary school where
that's
it
right.
is, because that seemed to be where everybody took their dogs to go to the bathroom. So I got them to put one right there so it would be like, yo, hey. So, I do think we need a couple more on north, so maybe if y'all order a couple more for the north side, too.
And we're also, we talked about getting some down there at the park property, so we can...
Yeah, because we talked about that also.
Yes, so we'll go ahead and get some additional trash cans and some additional dog boxes, and we'll do both the park property as well as taking another look at Main Street and the trail that we've got with the school property. So we'll take a look at all of that. And we've also talked about, doing a little bit, some more neatening up with the park, just under kind of general maintenance things, putting some bollards in front of the bridge to keep people from using that. And so just kind of neatening things up.
And one thing about the park, I went down and had lunch today. And as I was coming around before we got to our property, there was one of the biggest hawks I've ever seen. So I got down to the park property, there was an eagle.
Yeah.
Sitting up in a tree across towards the dam right there, there was an eagle sitting in the tree. And I sat there and watched him for a while and I started the car. He flew back towards town, on up the hill. But I thought that was cool. So if anybody's down there, it's the big, plus it was the biggest hawk I've ever seen first. I've never seen a hawk that big around here. And then I go down and sit and there's an eagle.
A bald eagle?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
yeah. So awesome. So it's like, wow. And it made my lunch very enjoyable.
Absolutely.
To sit there and watch that. So.
Which brings me to my second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, keep cussing my quid.
No, go ahead. I'll remember. Maybe.
My second thing was in dealing with that city. This past spring, a couple of us spent quite a bit of time at that park, just monitoring the activity down there. Lots of wildlife, geese, ducks, and people. People are using it, especially in the spring. I didn't keep a big track in the hot weather, but springtime was pretty. Most every time you go down, it's somebody. But I think it's. You know, we've done this concept, we've decided on it, we're slowly building on the idea. I think it's time to give this puppy a name.
Yes,
Rather than just the park.
The park.
So I don't know how we want to do that. Do we want to get a committee? Do we want to let school kids do it?
Why don't we open it up to the schools and then let the public have an input on it, and we just go from that and take what they get?
Can we make a survey on the website and have people participate?
Do like a blanket?
Yeah, just take it. Hey, we're looking for names for the park. Send them in. Yeah. And then compile and...
And I will, I'll get word to the schools, because that brings me to my thing at the park I was going to discuss.
I'm done, that's all.
You're done? Okay.
As long as we figure out a way to name it.
Okay. Like I said, I will take care of it with the schools, throwing that out and asking the schools to participate in naming in a name. I have one in middle school that just started middle school this year. And I did not know, but they raised trout. They get them at the first of the year. Well, they kept 8 last year and did not release them. And they hit eggs, so they're hoping that they will have babies and they'll have a lot more trout. They just got their delivery of trout in from Game Park. So I've been working with the middle school, and they're fully behind bringing, because half of their trout comes from a trout organization up, something with the peddler. So they have to put half their trout back in that place in the peddler. But they are really excited about putting the rest of it in the park, in the stream in the park.
Will they survive in the park? That's
great. Yeah, they'll survive if they put it in the spring or the fall. And then in the summer, as long as they go to the deep ends, they'll be fine.
There's actually been people fishing there now.
Yeah, they've been fishing down there catching fish.
You need it. The fish are good size.
Oh, they're not trout. They're native.
But they're good size. And
stuff like that. But they're willing. They want to have a big school thing to, but they do to release their trout. So I think that's a great thing too. That just they were. I mentioned it to the assistant principal, and he said, "You know, I actually thought about that when I was running through there the other day." He was running through there, and I guess going up around through the high school and all that stuff. And he said, "That would be a perfect spot."
It would.
So
as long as they'll survive.
Yeah. So yeah. They that's why they stock them in the spring or the fall.
They put food for my ducks.
It gives them time to.
The eagle will be happy about it. Oh, that's
right. Now, second thought, the eagle may be happy.
They see an eagle there.
So, okay. Miss Carton.
I think that's exciting. I'm just talking about the park. I took my grandkids down there, and we actually had like old bread and things when we were. I was shocked at the number of fish, first off, native fish, and then the size of them, the ones that are in the shade that the trees kind of float over there. I was like, these are good sized fish for this tiny little creek. So I was excited, because that makes me feel like our park is healthy, the water is healthy, you know, life is thriving. So that just thrills me.
And if you want, I've got 25 pounds of fish food I keep at the house, and I'll always bring a big bag out there and feed it.
Yes.
So
we should put a little.
You know, I actually thought about that. Put a little machine so people can feed.
Put a little vending machine so people can feed the fish, and it's just a little.
Didn't say that. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Or it could be free. I don't know what, but I think it'd be cute if kids go down.
Maybe if we could do like the old parking lot parking meters, a penny or something, because it's free, then it'll go empty in a day.
Well, that's true. Make it a penny. Oh, whatever. Nobody uses pennies anymore.
Do you have something to
I just, some of our employees ate some lunch down there this past year, didn't they?
Yes, I saw some of the police guys down there from the state police, sheriff's office, and the town.
Having lunch?
Yeah, and one thing to expand on Mr. Watts, a few times when I was down there over the summer, I would see people show up, so I'd go talk to them. That's what I did. And they would say, "This is the best hidden gem around. You need to get the word out. We love this." They travel from somewhere. And they travel to let their dog run and have a picnic lunch. I've got pictures of all these families and people running with dogs and stuff. Because I'd ask them, "Do you mind if I take your picture when we go out and start running?" "No, you know, that's fine." And so But I talked to a lot of people there, and they were so excited because it was like a little piece of quiet and paradise, you know, right there, because it was just, you know, everything. So.
Well, once we get a name, we can put some signs up.
Yeah, we can.
We need some. We need some picnic tables and a couple of grills too.
Well, I would be a little shy of the grill by now. The picnic table.
Shy of grill, what?
Yeah.
Why's that?
I'm scared of a fire right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, this time of year, yeah. So,
all right, Ms. Lundy.
No, sir.
Okay. Is there anybody that signed the citizen comment? Okay. Ms. Carter.
I move that the town council go into closed session pursuant to 2.2-3711A.7 of the Code of Virginia as it relates to consultation with legal counsel pertaining to actual litigation involving the town stemming from cases currently pending in the Amherst County Circuit Court, where such consultation or briefing in open meeting would adversely affect the negotiating or litigating posture of the town.
Can we have a second?
Second.
Okay, at this time I am recusing myself because I have a business and I am friends with one of the people that is regarded in this closed session. So, Ms. Carter,
can I have a roll call vote to go into
a
closed session, please?
Yes.
Mr. Bunch?
Sweet.
Yes. Watson?
Myself?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Four. 0-1 or 4-0, he can't vote. He's abstained,
right.
So yeah.
Who, oh,
well, mayor doesn't vote, so it's 5-0.
Sorry. Okay, sorry, we're now in closed session. 5 or just a few minutes.